There's no other show quite like The Ron Van Dam Show. Thank God for that. Oh, can you imagine if there were two of these or more? Whoa, that is a world I do not want to live in. There's only one, and it's enough. This is The Ron Van Dam Show on New England Broadcasting.
The following programming is EI, educational and informative.
EI.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
E-I-A-I.
Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird if you like that sort of thing.
I. Hey, what are you doing? What are you doing over there? Come over here. I don't need you multitasking while I'm pouring my heart out doing a show. Pay attention, will you? Do me the courtesy. Where'd you get your manners from? Seriously, do I stick a fork in my hand when you're talking? No? Oh. Hey, welcome to the program. How you doing? Good to be with you. Thank you so much for being here. You're a better person just because of that. Doesn't take much, does it? Thank you. I'm a little late today starting the show because I started drinking my 8 glasses of water a day. That's my way of internally swimming. I need to drink 8 glasses of water a day. And you know who told me to do that? The computer system, the Googles, the Google people told me. My doctor said, yeah, it sounds like a good idea. If that's what the Google told you, then yeah, right. Yeah, then do it. Oh, okay. 8 glasses of water a day. I'm going to have to stop and excuse myself for many times during the day to say, I'm sorry, I must leave you now. I've got to go drink. I got to drink a glass of water. It's time for me. I have to space it out, otherwise I'll be peeing all day. How do you manage 8 glasses of water a day? That's a lot. I might as well get some goldfish. I don't know what that meant either. I have no idea. Made sense, but didn't. Anyway, welcome to the program. Man, did I have a horrible experience yesterday. Really, Ron, tell me what it was. Oh, God, thanks for your interest. Well, I wanted to, I have a couple of credit cards, as most people do, because you don't use money anymore. What are you, an old person using money? Cash? What are you, what planet are you from? Now we just tap our plastic card on machines, and that's all. I mean, I kind of like that part of it. I kind of do. But if you don't pay the entire amount every month, then you're stupid because then you're paying extra money for something, and that's just stupid. So anyway, so I called one of my credit card companies. I'll tell you which one, I guess, is Bank of America. I mean, I live in America. I should use their bank. I called Bank of America. Big company. I understand, pretty big. Bigger than CVS and Dunkin' Donuts? No, nothing is. This is Bank of America, and that I wish I could play this for you, but I don't think I'm allowed to. You get immediately you get the automated recording. God forbid there's still a human being left on the planet that would do this, really, but they've got to use the AI, the artificial intelligence, and it's really, really artificial. So I get the recording. Thank you for calling Bank of America. Please listen to our menu, as our menu has changed. No, it hasn't. I called like a couple of months ago, it's the same. It's AI, that's right, they can't interact with me. The menu has changed. Press 1 if you'd like your balance, press 2 if you'd like your balance, plus 3 if you'd like your balance. press 4 if you've lost your card, press 5 if you don't know what you're doing here, press 7 if you want to do your laundry. It's just all kinds of options. I wanted to speak to someone in the rewards program because I like the cashback cards. I like it when you use the card, you get a certain amount of cash back to you, and that gets deducted from your bill, or they actually send you a check in the mail. That's what I like. You know, I'm spending cash. I want some cash back. I don't want travel. I don't want points. I don't know what kind of points you're talking. I don't know how to transcend a point into money. I have no idea what the hell you're talking about. I don't travel. I don't need travel things. I want to speak to somebody because I have questions. I want to make sure I'm getting the best card for my money. And I have questions about how to obtain the rewards. In other words, give me my money back that you owe me, that kind of stuff. But when you say that, the AI says, I don't know what the fuck you're talking about. They don't say that. They say it in a nice way. We don't understand what you've just done here. Please choose one of the options or get the hell out of here. Well, I start yelling into the phone. Now I'm yelling into the phone to a computer, and I'm yelling, speak to agent, speak to agent. And the recording says, you must choose one of the options to know who to direct your call to. To a human being. And then it says, what is this about? And please press 1 if you can tell me what it's about. Is it about your cash? Yeah, okay. So I press 1. It tells me my balance, what I owe, and then it says, thank you for calling, and it hangs up on me. I swear that's what happened. I called back again. Went through the whole thing all over again. Yelled into the phone, speak to a person, speak to a representative, speak to an agent, any other adjective, any type of simile. Just get me to someone who has a human heartbeat, please. Couldn't get it. Finally, after yelling like 7 times into the phone, now I'm yelling into the phone to a computer. Finally, somehow it connects me. We have a technical problem. We don't understand you. We're going to put you through to an agent. Finally, I get this guy. And I can't believe it, but he actually spoke English. All these companies are farming out these customer service people to another country. And I don't know where I'm going. I don't know if today we're going to India or shall we go to Turkey? Hey, let's take a tour of the Philippines. Where are we? I don't know. And I constantly have to say, excuse me, I don't understand what you're saying. Excuse me. And the telephone line is crackly or I can't hear them well or, oh my God, you know, Look, I love every single culture. I kind of really do. I love the mixture. I was brought up in New York. I was brought up amongst all different people from all different countries, all different walks of life, all different cultures, all different cuisines. I loved it. I still do. But when I have a problem, all that goes out the window. Let me speak to a person who understands me and I understand them. But make it a person. I got a guy that I think was American, probably not in an office. I really don't know where he was. Maybe in the bathroom. I have no idea. In his house. I don't know. And I told him my escapades in trying to get through to a human being to ask a simple question about the rewards program and if I'm getting the best credit card deal that I can get. And he said, I understand, Mr. Van Damme. Calls me Mr. Van Damme. Says, I apologize for, well, it's not your fault. It's not your fault. Don't apologize to me. I want a handwritten letter from the president of the company is what I want. And I don't remember his name. I think it was Alan. I said, I'll tell you something, Alan. I was one tick away from canceling my credit card because of this. There are other credit cards that offer probably better deals than you do, or at least the same. So there's no reason I should have to put up with this bull. And then I used a word that I shouldn't use. And he knew I was upset. And he said, well, first of all, let me give you my personal number. So when you ever have a problem or a question about this credit card or any credit card with Bank of America, you call me directly. And I said, okay, I'll talk to you at 3 o'clock in the morning. And I didn't say that. So we went through the thing about the rewards program and all that, and all the points and all the new points. And then I said to him at the end, I kind of editorialized, and I said, listen, Alan, you did a great job here, and yes, there's probably going to be a survey. I'm going to get in the email, how did Bank of America do for you today? And I'm going to tell them you were very good, but Bank of America sucks the raw one. Listen to me. I've said this on the show before. I'll say it again, and I'll say it until I change society. I understand about your computer system and how you answer the phone. Give me the option of speaking to a human being. Put that into your menu. If you want this, press this. If you want this, press this. If you want this, press this. If none of those options apply and you want to speak to a human being, press this. Some companies have that. Most don't. And you end up being hung up on after you hear your current balance, and that's it. So, what I'm saying is, if there's any company listening to me, when somebody calls, I guess I don't expect a person to answer the phone and say, hello, this is the Bank of America company, how can I help you? I know that's not going to happen. I get that. But please, at least give me the option pretty close to upfront if I want to speak to a person. And when I speak to a person, I tend to want to vent to them only because I had so much trouble getting to talk to a person. If I find a company that has a person who understands me and I understand them, I will stick with that company even if the benefits are not as good. Because then I'll feel like I'm really being taken care of. They really care about the customer. And don't treat them just like another telephone number that came through. Because that's what you're telling me when you do this automated crap system. And it's not just credit cards. It's everything else. That's the road to success. And I think most people feel the same way I do. I really do. Because when we ask a question, it's usually a specific question that we have, not on the menu. So why do I have to sit there for 3 minutes and listen to this babble that's going to get me nowhere? That's a company I don't want to deal with. Hire some people, why don't you? Hire some people. You'll be amazed how your company will do incredibly well. Because if I talk to a human being, they can calm me down and they don't have to hear my repertoire of frustration, which I will give them because that's where I'm at that point. Raise your hand if you don't think that you'd rather speak to a person to handle your problems on the phone. Look at all the hands go up. This is radio, but I can still see all the hands go up. That's how many hands went up. Let's get back to personal interaction again, but only when I have a problem. Otherwise, stay away from me. And if I call a company and the first thing they say, we're experiencing a high call volume, your wait time may be extended. What are you trying to do? Chase me away? Are you trying to chase me away from dealing with you? Then you give me the option. We're experiencing a very, very period call. This, and they play this. This is part of the recording that they say all the time, whether they're experiencing it or not. And my answer is, if you're going to play a recording at the very beginning that says you're experiencing a long wait period, hire more people. That should be a clue to you, company, that you haven't hired enough people to handle your flow. I'm impressed with a company that knows how to handle the flow because they're doing well. Don't warn people from the very beginning, this is not going to be pretty. You're not going to be happy. I'm going to make you uncomfortable and frustrate you and put you out. That's what the recording is saying. I mean, you can deal with this if you want, but we're going to make you wait for a long time. So your choice. What kind of business is that? If it's that busy all the time, hire more people so you can get rid of that stupid recording that says that. And by the way, thank God COVID is over. Stop using that in your recording. Please. Because of a lack of staff due to COVID. This is 2024. Stop that thing. Stop using that as an excuse. Per yesterday's show, the only excuse you should be using is, I'm sorry for the long wait time, but we haven't had our coffee yet. Oh, okay. That's fine. That's different. Okay, then. And then when you finally speak to a human being, it's like you can hear the harps go off in heaven. Oh my God, a real person. Should we be actually reacting like that? Oh my God, I got a real person. Is that right? Should that be such an incredible achievement? But it is. So shortly after the call, I get an email from Bank of America. They can contact me quickly. I can't contact them really at all unless I get hung up on 5 times first. But the survey, right there within a minute after ending the call. And it asked me, how is your customer service representative, Alan? Oh, he was marvelous. We're having coffee on Thursday and then we're going out to a movie. Would you recommend, companies don't ask this question. You're asking for trouble. Do not ask, you're stupid if you ask this question. Would you recommend Bank of America to friends and family? No, no way. I'm not going to get a phone call from a friend or a family member saying, you recommended Bank of America. They suck. I know. You know, why did you recommend them? Because they told me to. No, I will not recommend you to anybody. I will tell them to watch out for you. And that's the way I do it with everything. I mean, if I have a bad experience at CVS, and that happens frequently, they always say, would you recommend CVS to friends and family? I always say, no. What's your lowest score? Can we go minus here? Please tell us why you won't recommend. Because your prices are ridiculous. That's why. If people weren't coming into your store to pick up their prescriptions, they wouldn't go near your place. It's true. No, I would not recommend. Don't ask that question. You're asking for trouble. Big trouble, baby. And I'm talking trouble with a capital T. Look, I get it. We're in a digital world. I'll show you my digit right now, but it's radio. But I think you can imagine which digit I'm showing you. It's a digital world. And we've cut out human beings. And we knew this would happen. We knew this would happen. Decades and decades ago, we knew this would happen. And it's just like social media. They're compounding the problem. Yeah, I'm talking to people, but I'm not talking to people. I don't know who I'm talking to. I've been hacked. I've been breached. All on that machine. Hey, you get hacked and breached in real life too. Yes, but usually by human beings, not by these screens things. Screen and a keyboard. That's it. Those are my tools. Screen and a keyboard. Want to go shopping? Sure. Let's get dressed and go down to the store. No, let's just sit in a chair in front of a screen and get a keyboard and let's shop that way. But that's not fun. But that's how you do it. Oh, really? Really? I don't know. I don't get it. I guess I'm not part of this particular generation or something like that. And when you grow older too, not that I'm that old, but you know, when you grow older, you'll say the same thing about the generation you get stuck in later on. Flying cars. We didn't have flying cars when I was younger. This is ridiculous. Everybody is out of place when they get a little bit older, they feel out of place all of a sudden. Like the world has passed them by. You know what? It has. And I refuse to be a part of it. I mean, I'll do what I have to do. But I'll tell you something right now. Due to a high call volume, I think you're an idiot. Okay. We're going to take a short commercial break. When we come back, my guest will be joining us for today. But first, there's this.
Injured in an auto accident or on the job? Do you want to make sure that you get the best possible settlement when you go to court? Then you need to call me, Attorney Jack Barnes, from the law offices of Barnes & Barnes. For over 10 years, I've been getting my clients the best possible settlements, and often more than they actually deserve, based solely on the sound of my voice. Judges and juries want to get me out of the courtroom as fast as possible. That's why they're ready to settle when they're dealing with Jack Barnes from the law offices of Barnes & Barnes. Call today for a free consultation. 1-800-257-2525. That's 1-800-257-2525. Call today. You can't lose with Jack Barnes.
Catherine Williams joins us now, National Geographic Kids editor. And it's the weird but true series from National Geographic. And this is all about sharks. Ever since the movie Jaws, we've had a fascination with sharks, both kids and adults, right?
Oh, yeah. People cannot get enough of sharks. As you can tell from the Shark Week, Shark Fest, all happening yes. every summer, people can't get enough.
And Sharknado. Don't forget Sharknado.
Sharknado. Fun fact, which I have lots of.
Yeah.
There are sharks that live inside of a volcano, hammerheads that swim around in the water inside of a volcano.
Oh my God!
Not a tornado, but a volcano.
A volcano.
That's real.
How do they survive in that type of temperature?
I don't remember the details of it. I think maybe that part isn't like quite as hot as the magma in the volcano, and they've just been living there for generations.
This is a lot of fun, and it's just loaded with different facts and pictures and all that kind of stuff. Famous National Geographic in that sense. What led you to edit this type of subject matter?
Well, I love the Weird But True books. I have edited other ones, the Weird But True Dinosaurs,
yeah.
and our readers love sharks, so they love Weird But True, they love sharks, so we decided to give them, you know, what they want, and that's 300 shark facts, and I work with a team of writers and researchers and photo researchers who help me put the book together.
Crazy stuff. Now tell me, give me some of those facts that would tantalize us toward this.
So one of my favorites is I learned a lot about the Greenland shark, which is this large shark that lives very far north in very cold waters. And what's cool about the Greenland shark is a lot of things, but one is that they can live to be over 200 years old. Some of them think they live to be 500 years old.
Oh.
So they're very, very ancient. And it takes them about 150 years just to kind of reach adulthood.
Whoa.
And they also swim really, really slowly. So they swim less than 2 miles an hour. So I like to imagine them for 500 years just kind of chilling out in the ocean.
Wow.
Moving very, very slowly.
I see one of the facts here, which is, it's astonishing me, is that sharks actually have tiny teeth covering their eyeballs. Is that true?
Yeah, some of them do. So sharks have all kinds of weird, all sharks have like these different ways of protecting their eyeballs. So some of them have eyelids. Some of them have like a clear coating over their eyes, like a clear eyelid. And whale sharks don't have eyelids at all. So they have these very, very tiny teeth all over their eyes that protect their eyes while they're swimming. It's very, very strange. Weird, but true.
Wow. Now, sharks existed at the time of dinosaurs, I guess?
Yeah, sharks have been around for a really, really long time. They swam alongside dinosaurs. They survived all of the mass extinctions that Earth has had. Uh-huh. And we have some cool illustrations of what people think prehistoric sharks look like. I mean, there's the megalodon, which is the most famous prehistoric shark that is absolutely gigantic. And we have some other cool prehistoric sharks in the book as well. Some of them were like skinny and looked like eels. One of them had this fin on its back that looked like an ironing board. So it had this like flat top. It's very, very strange looking. So sharks have been around for a really long time. They're clearly doing something right because they've survived this long. So yeah, they're very cool.
Wow. Another fact here that's listed is that sharks don't blink at all.
Yeah, so they can close. Some of them who have eyelids, as we mentioned, a lot of shark eye facts. They're very weird. Some of them can close eyelids, but they don't really blink like we do because they swim around in water. They don't need to keep their eyes moist. So they'll mostly close their eyelids if they're eating and they don't want food to get in their eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Or some of them can't blink, like can't close their eyes at all. So like a great white shark will roll its eyes into the back of its head.
Oh, so does my wife.
It needs to protect its eyes.
Yeah, my wife does that too. and for good reason, probably. Okay. What is the target age group for the book?
So we're targeting 8 to 12-year-olds, middle school kids, especially kids who are reluctant readers and want something to get them really excited about learning and doing a little more research and being curious about the world. But I think adults and kids of all ages.
Yeah, there's no question about it, Catherine. With most of the National Geographic Kids series, which are obviously it's got the word kids in it, I find that adults probably would say, get out of the way, kid. I want to read this because, it's fascinating stuff that adult, you know, man, this is what really draws us. I think we should drop the kids thing and just make it for everybody because that's what it is.
Totally. I learn so much every day.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, Catherine, now this isn't part of the conversation, but are you working on something else right now?
I'm always working on something else. We are working on a new series, another Weird But True book, but way, way bigger, A Weird But True World that is like a collection of the weirdest places in every continent around the world.
Wow.
I'm also working on a book about octopuses that I'm really enjoying right now. So there's a lot of stuff in the works. I work on more than just ocean animal books, but that's going into summer what I'm excited about.
Yeah. See, you're in the business of conversation pieces is what you are, because if all you got to do is start talking about this and people will talk to you for hours and hours. It just, you know, that's what it is. You know, they used to have things called coffee table books where they put them out on a coffee table. I don't have coffee tables anymore, I don't think. But people would just put the books on there and that would start up conversations that would never end. And this whole series is like that. It just starts conversations and never stops.
Yeah, that's the hope.
Yeah. Cool. Okay. Well, I'm learning more about these things than I ever did in school, which I don't know if that's a good thing to say or not, but it's true. I mean, this is fascinating stuff. All right. Where do I get a hold of these books and the series and the whole thing?
You can find our books online and on online retailers, or in most bookstores you can find our books. We have this very bright yellow border, yellow spine, so they really stick out, and you can't miss them.
That's wonderful. I understand you live in Washington, D.C., which is the home base for strange and interesting things, as far as I'm concerned.
Yes, I do. I do.
Okay.
The White House is just a couple blocks from our office.
Really? Wow, that's kind of like fascinating in itself.
Really? Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. Okay. What an interesting life you lead, Catherine. I'm telling you. Okay. One more time, a website we can visit.
You can visit natgeokids.com for more info about sharks and our book and all things Nat Geo Kids.
Cool. I mean, it's definitely something you should have in your house and read it with your kids, and you can both be astounded. And that's a bonding situation, and that's what we're looking for here. Catherine, thank you so much for your time today. Yeah. Well, that'll do it for me today. I'll be back again tomorrow with a brand new program. Kind of got a special guest tomorrow I think you're really going to enjoy. But for now, go do something else, okay? Because this show is over. Until tomorrow, I wish you peace. ¶¶